Good morning. The scripture reading today is Psalm 145, verses 1 through 10. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All our works, all your works, praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So it's a great Sunday because I'm preaching this morning. And the reason is not that I am preaching, but the reason that it is great today is the sermon will be shorter. I was born and raised up in a culture where the bride and the groom, they do not see each other or meet with each other until they are married. And this turned to be quite a story in my case. I had not met my wife before we got married. And on the day of marriage, I'm anxiously waiting for the pastor to perform the ceremony so I could see my bride. And I'm standing here like any innocent and obedient groom. And the pastor is here, and one of my friends, he saw my wife, and he cannot help and just runs at me and comes and whispers in my ears and says that she is incredibly beautiful. And I don't believe him because he's a kind of guy who would tell me the opposite. And anyway, when the pastor performed the ceremony and unveiling my wife, the moment of unveiling my wife was at hand, my nerves were getting the best of me. And the closer I was getting, I started reciting something in my heart. And the closer I'm getting, the faster I'm reciting. The closer I'm getting, the faster I'm reciting. And can you guess what I was reciting in my heart? I was reciting this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Psalm worked. And my friend was right this time. And it turned to be true. And now you know that some people can use Psalms in any situation in some part of the world. We are starting a new sermon series today, 10,000 Reasons. And in this three-week sermon series, we will look through the different Psalms every week. We will look through the stories of people in the Bible who praise God even in the midst of their storms in their lives. And we will learn from them that how we can praise God in the midst of our own challenges and our own struggles. And today is the first sermon of that series. Shall we pray? Please pray with me and for me. God, in all my humility, I present myself to you. You are a great God and most worthy of my praise, of our praise. Your greatness no one can fathom. God, teach us today how to praise you like the true worshipers that seek you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Let me begin with telling you a story. Thanksgiving Day is near, and the first grade teacher gives her class a fun assignment and asks them to draw a picture of something they are thankful for or that makes them thankful. And most of the class comes from the poor families, but still they will celebrate the holiday with turkey and other traditional trimmings of the season. And these, the teacher thinks, will be the subject of the most of the students' art, and they are. But there is one student in the class, his name is Douglas. He draws a different kind of picture. His picture is different from other students. And Douglas is a different kind of student. As other children are playing at recess, Douglas is standing close by his teacher. And one can only guess at the pain Douglas has behind those sad eyes. And yes, Douglas' picture is different. He draws a hand. Nothing else. Just an empty hand. And his abstract image catches the attention of students, and the teacher asks to guess the students whose picture could it be. One student says, "This is a picture of a farmer, because the farmers grow turkeys." Others suggest it's a hand of a police officer, because police protect and care for people. And still some other suggests it's a hand of God, because God provides us. So the discussion goes on until the teacher almost forgets about the young artist himself. And when the other students have gone on to some other assignments, teacher pauses at Douglas' desk. And she asks, "Douglas, whose hand is this?" And the little boy looks away and murmurs, "It's yours, teacher." And she is overwhelmed with the emotions, and in her emotions, she recalls the times when she has asked Douglas to take her hand and to walk outside. There were so many times when she has said, "Douglas, take my hand, let's go outside. Or let me show you how to hold your pencil. Or let's do it together." Douglas is most thankful for his teacher's hand. The Douglas story reminds me what I experienced when I read Psalms. I have great love for Psalms, partly because Psalms are popular in my culture, and partly because Psalms give me the words when in the time of distress, when I want to pray and I don't have words. You know, there are some times when we can't come up with the right words when we pray. And thanks to the Bible, that we have a great collection of different kinds of prayers in the book of Psalms. And there are 150 Psalms in the Bible, and all of them cover an entire range of human emotions: fear, praise, joy, anger, thanksgiving, and despair. And today we are going to focus on one of these human emotions, praise. And this is the subject of Psalm 145, and this is the only psalm that has the title Psalm of Praise, and is among those few attributed to David. Let me share a little bit about David, if this name is new for some here. David is the second king of Israel. He was a son of Jesse. He was a poor shepherd and used to play harp. And God had chosen Saul as the first king of Israel, who sinned against God, who disobeyed God, and now God has decided to remove him from the kingship and install David as the king. So David is anointed as a king of Israel by the prophet Saul, and when Saul knows about that God has decided to remove him from the kingship, he started hating David to the extent that he wants to kill David. So David has to run to save his life, and he runs to the wilderness, where he spent about 12 or 13 years of his life. and he experiences a lot of problems and a lot of ups and downs in his life. So finally, he is installed as a king, and he praises God for that. He praises God for who God is. He praises God for what God has done in his life. And we see, when we read the Psalms and we read David's story, we see that David praises God all the time. But still, David is not a perfect human being. He commits adultery with Bathsheba at some point of his life when he was a king. He murders Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, who was a loyal commander in David's army. And he betrayed, and he did a lot of other bad stuff. But when he realizes that he had done wrong in God's eyes, he repents, and God forgives him. And he experiences that God is gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and rich in love. So that was a little bit about the author of this psalm. So Psalm 145 opens with a commitment. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. This may seem a rather simple commitment, but I think it involves more than that. I think it involves David's personal experience with God. It involves David's knowledge of who God is. It seems to me that David has seen and experienced the beauty and the glory of God beyond what human beings normally do. It seems to me that David's experience of God is more of who God is as God than what God does as God. Do you see the difference? And this psalm offers us the opportunity to look into how we praise God. What does it mean to praise God? And what experiences, what practices can lead us to experience God and praise Him as David does, as he writes in this psalm? I think sometimes we confuse praise and thankfulness. When I was working on this sermon, I decided to talk to people and ask them how they worship God, how they praise God, actually. The one thing I wanted to know was not worship, but how they praise God. So I decided to go out and meet with people, and I went just down the street here, Clock Tower and on Eldon Street. I talked with about at least 25 people there. And I told them that I am a pastor here at Florist United Methodist Church, and I am preaching on the topic of praise, and I'm curious to know how people praise God. How do you praise God? What does it mean for you? Why you do that? So they did not turn me down, and the question I asked them was this: how do you praise God? Why you do that? And what does it mean to you? And the answers were striking to me. Some of them had no idea what I was talking about. They were not familiar with the word praise. Some of them thought their acts of worship or what their rituals, like what they do when they worship, is how they praise God. And over half of them talked about why they praise God. They praise God for good jobs. They praise God for money. They praise God for good health. They praise God for house. They praise God for cars and this and that. And they gave me all the reasons that they praise God. And even those who considered their acts of worship and rituals as praise of God, they talked about the blessings that they praise God because of the blessings they have in their lives. So what was striking to me was this. Not even one mentioned that he or she praised God for who God is. They were like those children in the class who talked about, who were guessing whose hand Douglas had drawn. They were talking about what they receive from God every day. They were talking about the blessings they had in their life. But they were not talking about praising God for who God is. I want you to think at a different level. It is important to praise God for what God does in our lives, but it's also important to praise God for who God is. And there is a difference between praising God and being thankful to God. Can we praise God for who God is? Can we praise God even in the midst of our challenges, even when the things are not happening the way we want, and even when our prayers are not being answered? How can we praise God for who God is and not only for what God does? And if we know how to praise God and learn how to have eyes to see all that God has made or has done, we can become confidently aware that God is truly present everywhere. Many of you know my story. For the last couple of years, my family and I have gone through a lot. Life was difficult in so many ways. But as I went through that difficult time, I learned about something about praising God that changed my life. You want to know what is that? What I learned? I learned that praising God in the midst of a storm is or can be the hardest thing in our life. It becomes extremely difficult to praise God when we are in a chaotic situation and uncertain what will happen next. Have you had that experience? And I learned something else as well. As I shifted my focus from the bad things that were happening in my life to the good things, I realized that the good things were still there, and I was not paying attention. I found that there was still a lot I could be thankful and praise God. I still could praise God for who He was. And this led me to a new experience and relationship with God. We know how to praise for God, what God does in our lives and in this world. So how we praise God for who God is? Douglas draws an empty hand, as we heard in the story. He is thankful for his teacher's hand. He is thankful not only for what his teacher does, but for who the teacher is for him. The meaning of that empty hand has changed for Douglas. I have a small video clip to show you this morning, and this is just a glimpse of God's beauty and the nature and God's glory. So I invite you to see this video and think about the things we just sometimes even don't pay attention or just take for granted. Watch this video. Thank you. So you see the glimpse of the nature and its beauty that God has made. It's just an example. It's not the whole thing. And when you see all this, it just slips from your lips. Wow. When you see the sun rising, when you see the sunset, it just slips from your, wow, God, you are great. I experience God in nature. Every morning when I sit under the trees of my morning for my morning prayer and devotion, I can see God's glory and I can see God's beauty in the trees. I can see God's glory in the chattering and the birds are chattering above me. I can see the God's glory when I see the beautiful trees and plants full of different flowers. And the grass with the dew on it, and the sky above. And I just close my eyes and say, God, I love you for that. I love you for all this. I simply can't resist praising the one who created all that. And those are moments full of awe. When I can see God's glory and I praise God for who He is, I praise His glory. Every week I see God's glory in through the faces of the children of our preschool when they come here for their chapel class and they sing songs and they listen to the stories. I can see God's greatness on the faces of the children of our preschool, of our Sunday school every Sunday here. And I'm filled with awe and say, God, you are a great God. You are worthy of praise. You just heard a little bit of David's story. David wrote this psalm and he had his own reasons to praise God. You might have different reasons than David, but I bet that you have a lot of reasons to praise God for who He is. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Look around you. When you go out today, look around you, and you will find 10,000 reasons to praise God. Be still and see and think about the Creator, and you will find these trees, flowers, birds, and stars look new to you. I invite you to do something that I am doing over the next week. I am doing it because I need it. I feel that I don't do that too often, and I don't do as much as I should. And I encourage you to do this exercise with me. Every day when you're out or wherever you are, jot down the things where you see God's glory or where you experience or where you feel, wow, God, no one else could make this but you. This is your glory. You feel the presence of God. And that may be a beautiful morning, a sunrise, or a gorgeous sunny day, or it may be the flowers or the tree. And at the end of the day, before going to bed, look at the list of the things you have jotted down. Take a few moments and reflect. Do you see God's rich love in all this? Do you see God's glory in all the things you have jotted down? Are these things or are these reasons not enough to make God worthy of your praise? When you praise God for who He is, all these sights will have new meaning for you. You will see God present everywhere around you. He is an awesome God, rich in love, worthy of your praise, of my praise.
Let us praise him for who he is, not only for what he does. Amen.